www.spiritfamonline.com to all parts of Africa, Europe, Asia, Antarctica, Middle East, and the Americas. Spirit FM, positive soul music,
Christian hit music.
Hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM, 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times you're living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be going
home. Good evening. We thank God for another Saturday. This is Eben. From now till 9 p.m., I'll be with you. The program is Issues of Life, and I trust you are doing well by the grace of God. We are continuing our series on the evangelism and the issue of souls, as we've started, I think, 3 weeks. This is the fourth edition. On the fourth part, we are talking about this important thing. I'll be playing an interesting file this evening, and I believe you will learn something from it. It's quite inspiring, and there's something to learn from it anyway. So you let me just finish the news, and then we'll get into it, and we'll talk more. But greetings to our listeners, wherever they are, outside the country, outside the city, and outside the region. Thank you for tuning in from wherever you are. All right, so let's start with the news, some of the things happening in the world. We have German foreign minister believes the EU must work towards the two-state solution in Israel. So a two-state solution to allow for the peaceful coexistence between Israelis and Palestinians is the only solution to the current conflict. German Foreign Minister Annalena Baerbock said on Monday before heading into EU foreign ministers meeting. You know, as for the two-state solution, eventually they will try to force it on Israel, because you see, the current status quo of the war, what is happening now, it's becoming a protracted one, and the support of US and some of the key allies of Israel is beginning to wane, because it seems Israel is being, or Netanyahu is beginning to be very stubborn regarding some of the moves. So it's getting to the point where it will not be long. The US and all these other key players would really backtrack, and Israel will be alone, and they will now push this two-state solution, divide Jerusalem, the Palestinians should have East Jerusalem, and then, you know, all these things, it's been in the pipelines for many years, but looks like this time around, this war is going to really push things to another level. But well, we wait to see how things go. Then U.S. drone strike takes out Iran-backed group commander in Iraq. So a commander from the Kataib Hezbollah, an Iran-backed armed group in Iraq that the Pentagon has blamed for the attack, for attacking its troops, was killed in a U.S. strike on Wednesday, the U.S. military said. The U.S. forces conducted a unilateral strike in Iraq in response to the attacks on U.S. service members, killing the Kataib Hezbollah commander, responsible for directing, planning, and participating in attacks on U.S. forces in the region. A statement from the military said it did not name the commander, however. You know, this Middle East thing, you know, it's becoming another protracted thing, as I was just talking of Israel, but the U.S. is being drawn into it little by little, and that's where the worry is, because the longer U.S. stays in this particular war, the more it attracts the enemies of U.S. I mean, this case, it makes the thing very complicated. It's no longer Israel alone, but then you have, you know, all the other the Iran groups, the various proxies of Iran and all that. So, and these are all complicated things that can make things more volatile for Israel and the U.S. All right, then we have this one. China just unveiled a plan for brain chips to be implanted into skulls to rival Elon Musk's Neuralink by 2025. You know, just last week I was talking of talking about Elon Musk Neuralink, where they are putting, they've done the first human chip, like chip in the brain for a first human being under test. And the Chinese, you can trust them. They are really going in for a bigger deal. So that China has entered a race to implant brain chips into human skulls in a bid to pit against Elon Musk's Neuralink. The country unveiled a chilling timeline to develop what it calls brain-computer interface and aims to release products as early as 2025. That's just next year. China's shock plan in the field of brain chips comes as Musk announced that the first Neuralink brain chip has been successfully implanted into a human skull. The billionaire said that the preliminary results from the human test subjects are promising. And now the announcement by China, following the footsteps of the Tesla boss, could potentially spark the biggest global tech rivalry of this decade. China dubbed the brain-computer interface as one of its innovative, iconic products, according to the Ministry of Industry and Information Technology's press release on Monday. It said the country in coming years is aiming to develop a range of brain interface products, just like Neuralink's telepathy. China aims to make breakthroughs in key technologies and core devices such as brain-computer fusion, brain chip, brain-like chips, and brain-computing neural models, the Chinese ministry added. Last year, the Chinese government opened a 60-person laboratory focused entirely on brain-machine interfaces, according to Gizmodo. The lab is reportedly focused on turning extensive research in the field of brain chips into practical applications to rival Musk's Neuralink, according to the South China Morning Post. Researchers in China have apparently developed a computing device that connects to your brain via the inner ear. Wow, these people. While this device works without a chip implant like Neuralink's telepathy, it can still feed data directly into the human brain. China says it hopes to use such advanced brain technology in driverless cars, virtual reality, and medical rehabilitation. A cumulative vision that was first pitched at by Musk in 2017. Experts, however, argue that China could leverage such tech implants and weaponize them to spy against their own people. Meanwhile, some critics of the technology claim that such products will falsely be marketed as remedy for all difficulties, and that interfering the human biology with such tech implants could turn people into zombies. That's interesting. You know, but when human beings want to play God and be like God, and now this trans thing, you know, making people hybrids of human beings, clearly we are crossing a very dangerous zone, because this is not the plan of God. As much as technology is meant to solve things, but there's the other side of technology which directly defies human creation and how God sets the whole world system to be like. And this is one clear example of directly interfering with God's creation, because there's nothing wrong with the human being, and yet you want to now make the humans more advanced than they are supposed to be by interfacing them with robots, computers, chips, and all, as a way of creating superhumans. And this is the whole idea, when so interfacing humans with computers to make them extra, you know, whatever they are doing beyond the capabilities of normal humans. And these are some of the dangers that people are raising, that we are crossing a very, you know, the way the world is going now, And with the advent of AI and all the bad things it's already doing, yes, there's a good part of technology, no doubt about it. But the bad is where, you see, in an evil world, the evil people would certainly take advantage and exploit anything that can be used to do more evil. All right, and we have this news that says that Scottish parents could soon be jailed for refusing kids' gender transitions. This world. A free speech watchdog is warning about a new proposal in Scotland that could reportedly lead parents to be imprisoned for refusing to comply with gender transitions for their children. This is crazy. You would think that this is a joke or a piece of satire, but unfortunately, it's the reality in the country of Scotland. Lois McLarty, communications officer at ADF International, told CBN News of the suggested provision. Quote, there are proposals that would ban so-called conversion therapy, unquote. McLarty said that many people think of terrible treatments and worst-case scenarios when it comes to these methods of attempting to change people's sexual proclivities. But while some claim that the Scotland proposal deals exclusively with troubling abuses and methods, McLarty said that it turns much deeper. Although it says that it's about conversion therapy, this bill actually goes much, much further and intervenes in what a parent can advise a child, a pastor can advise a congregant, or anything like that, she said. McLarty continued, if a parent were to, example, more than once tell their child, say their 11-year-old son, that he was not allowed to wear a dress to school and lipstick and high heels and to dress as a girl when he's a boy, you could potentially be guilty of committing conversion therapy, of being coercive, and therefore face a criminal trial and potential prison sentence of up to 7 years. She said the proposal is being discussed right now during a consultation period lasting until to April 2nd, and that ADF International and other activists hope the Scottish people raise their voices, weigh in, and help stop the passage and enactment of such measures. With the Scottish National Party, the nation's ruling party, and the Green Party behind the bill, she said the two political bodies have a majority of seats in Parliament combined and have thus essentially formed a potentially powerful coalition. Wow. You know, it's going to be difficult in the times ahead to really stand as a Christian in some countries, you know, because you see, the system is going to be so anti-God and anti-right, anti-good, anti-right, everything anti, like everything positive and good, biblically good, common sense, I mean, something that everybody knows, common sense tells you that this is good, the system will fight it. And to stand against such is really going to be difficult, because you just wonder what has come over some of these societies whereby, just imagine what I just read, you are a parent, your son wants to change to a girl, and you talk against it, and you can be jailed up to 7 years. Come on. I mean, and see, one of the most annoying things sometimes they say in these societies is that it's the government that owns the child. You do not own. You, the parents, yes, you are the parents, but the government owns the child, so the government can decide to. You know, and it's like, wow, what a society and what a world we live in. All right, so this one, this is in the U.S. now. Last week I read about it, and this week a more serious issue has come up where Christian parents could face arrest for speaking publicly about losing custody of their trans daughter. So last week I spoke about this girl who the system is forcing or is approving the girl to be transitioned to a transgender surgery and all that. The parents are opposing it, and now they may be facing justice for speaking. Apparently they were gagged not to talk about it. So the Christian parents from Montana who claimed they lost custody of their suicidal 14-year-old daughter after they refused to allow her to be admitted into a group home out of the state over fear she could potentially seek surgical and hormonal gender intervention, said they now face the possibility of arrest for sharing their story. Wow. This is a crazy world. Todd and Krista Costa had their 14-year-old daughter removed from their custody last month, and the state of Montana's Child Family Services took the girl into its care. The daughter, known to the public as Jennifer for privacy reasons, began identifying as male in 2021 and requested that people call her Leo, which her parents opposed. The parents have spoken publicly about what happened with their daughter in violation of a judge's order for them to remain silent about the case. So this is why now they face justice, because the judge said they shouldn't talk about the case. But this is their daughter. I mean, sometimes I just wonder how some of these things, the parents facing these challenges, are really the trauma they are going through, because virtually you see your child being destroyed and you are being told that don't talk about it. Wow, this world has turned into something else. See, and the worrying part of this whole thing is not going to get better. It's rather going to get worse. We are going to hear more of such extreme things, and some of these things will even be nationalized. It will be more of a whole nation, the law backing it and all that. And it's something. Okay, we go to India, where we have this headline. Pastor rendered unconscious after Christians ambushed and assaulted in India. So a group of Christians, including women, were physically assaulted by members of the Hindutva organizations, to the point where a pastor passed out and needed to be taken to the hospital. Hindutva is a religious nationalist philosophy that aspires to a Hindu nation. Mahesh and several others, including women, were attacked on January 21st at approximately 5:30 p.m. whilst they were returning from a lunch gathering at Shiv Prast Meshtu's residence in a village, and it falls within the jurisdiction of the Dulula police station. So whilst they were coming, they were accosted by these people, and see, the fact that they were Christians, they were beaten, and it's serious. Then in Pakistan, another place where persecution is rife against Christians, 14-year-old Christian teenager killed by Muslim gunmen in Pakistan. The gunmen, shouting threats against Christians, shot the 14-year-old Christian dead on Monday in Pakistan, according to sources. Sunil Mashish and other Christians were standing in a market in the Madilia Waria area, and then on Monday evening, when six Muslim men armed with pistols arrived on motorcycles and opened fire on them, said the slain boy's uncle. Wow. So the next news, this headline is: first ever global database for acts of religious violence launched. So the first global database to track cases of anti-religion violence became available to the general public in January, providing rights advocates, ministries, and others the plethora of information to defend religious freedom and belief. The Violent Incidents Database, VID, tracks types of perpetrators, religion of victims, and both non-physical and physical violence, from forcible marriage to killings. Run by the International Institute for Religious Freedom and funded by Global Christian Relief, it is the first worldwide database of incidents of anti-religion violence, said the IIRF International Director Dennis Petrie. It's not expect opinion based, it's just recording incidents as they appear in public sources in the media. And that's really the added value of the instrument, because it fills a gap, Petrie told Christian Daily International. And of course, it's useful for research, but also for ministries that work in that space to inform their strategic planning, and also for advocacy and awareness raising, because it really gives us a sense of the scope and the magnitude of the of different phenomena, providing searches by country, religion, and perpetrator. The database also includes data on arrests, vandalism, sexual harassment, abductions, attacks on houses, attacks on shops, closures of worship venues, attacks on religious buildings, and cases of people forced from their homes or countries. Kinds of perpetrators listed are religious groups, organized crime, political parties, religious leaders, ethnic leaders, family, government officials, ideological pressure groups, ordinary citizens, revolutionaries or paramilitary groups, and multilateral organizations. Research on religious freedom violation has developed greatly in the past few decades, Petrie said, and several freedom of religion or belief data sets have emerged. They have all their value and they are getting better, and so that's very helpful. But there was not an event-based database just yet. An instrument that records incidents of religious freedom violations, whether violence or non-physical violence, and so that's what we do, Petrie said again. The IIRF has had a database of religious violence cases in Latin America going back to 2002, but the group launched its global database available to the public starting in January this year. Reception has been very good, according to the report. And at January 30th to 31st, International Religious Freedom Summit in Washington, D.C., in academia, it's already seen as a compliment. So they've done this database, and for sure, you can be sure, cause, I mean, it's not Christians who are going to attack other people, other religious beliefs. It's Christians who are rather going to be attacked by other religions. And you see, that's what makes the difference. So you can see that we are under attack. I mean, you don't have instances where Christians are attacking others that they should convert, or because they've converted into other religions, they are being killed, they are being brutalized and all that. But it's the reverse, and Christians are at the receiving end of these abuses. If you see the country reports that is issued by the Open Doors USA, the yearly reports, I mean, countries are increasing in their index every year. The numbers are going up. Nigeria, North Korea, China, all these countries where Christians are under attack. And you see, when it comes to Nigeria, it's one clear example for us because it's not too far away. And the dynamics of what happens or what's happening in Nigeria, it's not too different from something that we can experience here in the rest of West Africa, because Burkina Faso has been experiencing some of these attacks where Christians and churches in Burkina are attacked by this West Africa, one of the groups, West Africa something, I've forgotten their group, aside the other people, the various groups that are all claiming to dominate and persecute Christians in West Africa. Ghana, we are blessed so far, and we just have to be alert and keep the status as it is, because, I mean, if you look at Nigeria's case, it's one clear example of how Christians are really, really suffering. The northern part of Nigeria is something, because every day someone is abducted, kidnapped, killed, beaten, brutalized. I mean, it's that bad in northern Nigeria. There are many instances where it gets, the stories don't even get reported until sometimes later. Some don't even get reported at all because of the localities, no internet, rural areas or villages and all. So, I mean, the Nigeria issue is really bad. You talk to Nigerians who are aware of some of these things. That, and one of these days, I'll arrange and talk to one journalist friend. He's in Nigeria. And, you know, it's sad when you read some of the reports, what is happening. And it's like the saddest part of the whole episode is the government's lack of interest in doing anything about it. It didn't start with this government. The preceding governments, I mean, the same. And now this, now they, when they had the Muslim president and the Christian vice, I mean, they couldn't do anything, or he couldn't do anything. The situation was as it is. I mean, and now there's even worse for them. See, so just have to remember them in prayer. It's that bad for Nigerian Christians. All right. So, well, let me play this song and then I'll play the file I talked about.
Oh Lord, you are the Lord. Let us feel your heart tonight, Lord. Speak your heart to us, Lord.
Oh, ye therefore and teach all nations,
playing a file just about 10 minutes, and this is Dr. David Ubuli. He's a pastor in Nigeria, a Nigerian pastor, and he was talking about soul winning, and there are some lessons that you learn, so you listen and then continue. All right.
Don't be afraid. What is inside Jesus is inside you. You are a child of God. That thing that is inside God Almighty that empowers him to do all the things he does is what he has put inside you. It's his spirit. Speak God's word. It will produce the same result in your life as it will produce when Jesus speaks it. Every one of you, look at me. Parting words, parting words. There is a vision that God gave to all believers in the Bible. I want you to start going for it from today. It is 1,000 souls. There is a vision he gave to the whole body of Christ. It is billions of souls. I showed it to you 2 times this weekend. multitudes that no one can number. But God came and gave specific number to each believer, the smallest believers. Show it to them, Isaiah 60, verse 21 and 22. I want to leave you with that. Because the anointing is coming on you to go and accomplish this. Verse 21, thy people shall all be righteous. They shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hand, that I may be glorified. Now, what is he talking about? Justification. That a day is coming when people will be justified and made righteous through Christ. You see, Isaiah 60, Isaiah 61, Isaiah 59, Isaiah, let me go back. Isaiah 58, talking about fasting and prayer. Isaiah 59, Isaiah 60, Isaiah 61, and Isaiah 62 are all prophecies about the church. A day is coming when people who have been justified and made righteous through the blood of Jesus. And God said, those same people will inherit the land. They are the ones that will reach and transform their communities. And then he now gave a vision for the smallest. Look at it, verse 22. Read verse 22 with me. One, two, go. A little one shall become what? A thousand. And a small one, what? A strong nation. God started with one Abraham to build a nation of Israel. Each one of you here is a nation. I say, each one of you here is a nation. And the smallest one among us has capacity to produce 1,000 souls. So many years ago, when I learned this and it was taught to us and I was still growing, so I created a vision of 1,000 souls. And then I asked myself, how many years do I want to spend to reach this 1,000? At that time, I gave myself 10 years. So when I divided it, it was 100 souls a year. I now broke that 100 soul into monthly goals. And it was just 10 souls that I have to win every month. 10. And then I have 2 months left to enjoy. Just 10. In 10 months, I've won my 100 souls. 10 souls a month. 10 souls a month. 2.5 souls every week. And there's nothing like a half soul. So now, I'm not just an ordinary believer. I now have a vision. I'm part of the vision of God. I now have something I'm living for. Rehabonke said, make the Great Commission your great ambition in life. And then I did that first year, second year, third year. I had learned the secret. My capacity has enlarged. And then I reached 1,000 souls on the third year. It was supposed to take me 10 years. What changed? It was when they explained to us that once you have a vision, the next thing you have to do is to build a team. You are not supposed to fulfill your vision alone. So the man taught us the G12, that Jesus got 12 men, and later he got 120. Later he got 70 and 120. By the time he was going back, he left 120 at the upper room. So the man said, start with 12 people in your team and grow till you raise your own 120. Ah! The thing changed the game. Because now I have 100 souls to win every year. And then I got myself young men with me in my group. I started my own cell group. And we grew till we were about 10 initially. Then we grew to 15 and more. But you know what I did? Okay, 100 souls a year. I shared it to 10 people. It is 10 souls a year. 10. And then that means one soul every month. Because if you take 10 months, it's one soul a month. Do you see how something that looks big becomes small? So, clap, oh, clap, clap, clap. I said, once you have a vision, build a team. Find young people like you. And I was a very, very young. I was in secondary school when I started this. So I built a team around me and we started. 10, then we grew, we became 15, then we grew, and then we all had. So I took 1,000 and divided to my group. We are 10. It is 100 souls. So instead of saying we will do it in 10 years, it now became 1 year goal. Win 100 in a year. And then as the leader, I make sure I showed the example by winning mine first. So that small cell that we started grew to 300 people. It became a fellowship. That small fellowship grew till people are coming there in thousands. When I went to the university, I have learned its secrets. So we started a fellowship on campus with 5 people. I just found, I'm building my team. I found 5 people. I showed them the vision of 1,000. The least believer must reach 1,000 people. Let's do 1,000 first together. And then all of you will go. You learn the secret. You go and do your own 1,000. And then that 5 people. That's what grew and became a fellowship and planted another fellowship and planted another fellowship. And then we started going to all the universities in my country, planting fellowships. And then as I was graduating, I came and planted the first Dominion City. We were 5 people again. A nurse in the teaching hospital gave us her parlor and she became the first member. Then she will invite nurses and we are 5. And then we put the same thing in them. That small 5 people grew to become a very big church. That church has planted churches around the world now. When you live here, go and find, start by finding a partner, one person. The Bible said he sent them 2 by 2. And then 2 of you should believe God to build your small group of 12. Take that vision of 1,000. Share it with them. Share it. Just divide it. 100-100. Then you decide how long you want to take to achieve that. Do you want to do it in 10 years? That means 10-10 a year. I don't have time to waste 10 years reaching 1,000 people. Right now, my vision is 100 million souls. That's what we are working on right now. That's what is taking us to all the nations of the earth. But do you know, to reach that 100 million souls, all I had to do is raise 120 people at my level who can do everything I do. 120. You know, I always add 20 extra. Have you noticed? Why? So that the deficiencies of any of the members, we use that 20% extra to balance it. So we always achieve our goals. Just 100 of them, 1 million. You see? But you see now, all those 100 at my capacity, you teach them to build their own team. Go and raise your own team of 100 people. Go and raise your own team of 12 people. Go and raise your own team so that they break that thing down. When you raise your team of 120, you share it. It's 10,000. How long do we want to take? Do we want it to be a 10-year goal? That means it's 1,000 every year. From now, you must lead your life with a vision. I say lead, not live. I talked about self-government. Govern your own life with a vision. And number 2, when you have a vision, build a team and divide that vision to them so that everybody will have something that he's doing. Then set an example for them. Because once you do it, they know it's possible. Everybody will start doing it.
Oh Lord, you are the Lord. Let us feel your heart tonight, Lord. Speak your heart to us, Lord.
All nations go.
with us tonight. We will go. We will go together. We will praise you. Every nation and in every language. Baptizing him in the name of the Father,
the Son, and Holy Ghost.
He said to go.
Spirit 88.3 FM. The program is Issues of Life. I'm Eben. I believe you've learned something from this message I played. The program is recorded. It will be uploaded to the website and you can listen to it again. I think the Telegram group, I think these days, seems I've forgotten about them, but I'll do well to upload all there as well. And listen to it again, because I've never thought about this from this perspective, this man is given, and this is a tried and tested thing that has worked for his ministry, and I mean in his life, and now he's in ministry and all that. But if you look at the analysis he made, let's put spirituality aside, it makes a lot of sense. So when it's being done with the backing of the Holy Spirit, you can imagine the impacts. So I now look at or listen to what he said, and I realized that had the church done a bit more work over the years, I mean, we would have taken far more souls into the kingdom than we've done, because it's achievable and it's possible. But you know, whatever reason, we just shirk the responsibility and procrastinate and think others will do. But if we just think someone else will do, and everybody thinks someone else will do, eventually no one gets to do it. And that's the challenge with these things. We have to take individual responsibilities and assign importance to it, because, you know, people are dying every day. Death is something which, I mean, we can't stop it in the world. It's part of the cycle in this world. People die, people are born. But the issue of death is, once they die, it ends it on this earth for them. And this is where we are seeing the failure of the body of Christ, the church, largely, because a lot of unsaved people are dying. They have no salvation. They don't know anything about church. They don't have any interest in church. And we have people around us dying and all that. What are we doing about it to also avoid the people who are yet to die, who have not died yet? What are we doing about their lives? For those dead, there's nothing we can do about it. But for those not, I mean, all living people around us, have we thought of the need to reach them and talk to them? But the more I think about these things, I realize, see, it's a spiritual warfare. You just cannot go into someone's country like Ukraine, or Russia goes to Ukraine and just are going to just capture people from the soldiers from there, or citizens, kidnap them, take them back to your country. There's going to be resistance. So that's how we should see evangelism and soul winning, because you are going to the devil's camp to go and snatch people away from his camp into the kingdom of God. It's not as simple as, I mean, he'll just watch you come and take the people and then he'll wave them bye-bye. I mean, farewell. No. I mean, So this is where I believe the failure starts from. We are not seeing it sometimes as a real spiritual warfare, because if we don't attach the seriousness of the warfare aspect to it, then that's where the disappointments and the failures come in, and then we eventually lose interest because we use other principles and strategies and we don't see results because we are more of doing it from the human perspective instead of from the spiritual, like the physical perspective, I mean, instead of the spiritual perspective. So there's little prayer, and once there's little prayer, I mean, forget about it, because you just cannot go into a strong man's house, go and bind and then take. No, it just doesn't work that way. So that's where we should reevaluate some of these things, assess ourselves, because we have to then know that there's a lot, we should start praying towards these things because it's a spiritual thing. So we should start building our prayer life along these things, start praying into these things, the evangelism, the soul winning we want to do. I believe as you listen to this file, you are thinking about what you can do as well, but you just don't start doing it. It should start with prayer. We should start praying ourselves into it, praying for our capacity to build our capacity in these areas, in these things, because it's a spiritual exercise. And warfare, once it's a spiritual warfare, automatically it demands that you should be equipped for it, and we cannot take prayer out of it. And you see, the other part of this thing, the information what the man was talking about, is that issue of discipleship. That's also, recently I was talking to friends, we were discussing these things, and see, one of the failures we've had as the body of Christ and in churches is the lack of discipleship in most churches. There are a lot of churches, the 31st December, just last a few 6 weeks or so ago, the souls that came, if you have to ask, where are they now? How many of the souls that came 31st December, watch night? The people, the many people who came forward, lifted their hands, they want to give their life to Christ. Go to the churches now and ask them, where are the souls that came? Very few can account for the souls. Very, very few can account for the souls that came. And even those that can account for them, how many of the souls are being discipled, being taught from the basics? You see, one of the biggest mistakes you can make is bring a new soul and just dump them, join the mainstream church as it is, like a regular adult person, like in terms of a matured Christian. See, so that's why sometimes we have the issue of people come, they come 1, 2, 3, and then they lose interest and they stop, because they are not being discipled. See, they are not being taught the fundamentals to grow into like the Christian life. They are not being taught the discipleship, like from the basics, the fundamentals. And once you don't really teach them to grow, disciple them well, you just push them into the mainstream matured people. You should join the matured people just like that. They feel intimidated. Eventually they lose interest. Then they stop coming to church. And because we also don't have a good follow-up system and visiting and tracking and all that, then we lose them. So sometimes a lot is done by some churches and ministries. The souls are won, all right. But then 1 year down the line, you ask, where are the souls? And it's like, nobody's around. Where are they? They came. Some came and all. But where are they now? Like, they are not there. They've all stopped. You see? So we should get back to the drawing board and do what has to be done in the proper way. And you see, the teamwork thing is very effective and more efficient and the wisest way to go, because if you make it a one-man show, you alone type of thing, sometimes you hit the bottlenecks and all the challenges and all that, and it's safer as well, because even Jesus sent people in twos. I mean, so it's better to partner with someone or a group, like more of make it a team thing. And that one, it has its benefits in terms of the psychological aspect of, like, even when you don't feel like someone else is there to encourage you and all that, and the safety aspect as well, and it comes with also the spiritual backing. as you are going, you are praying, or you have a team, some are dedicated to praying while some are going out. You see, so all these approaches come up. So I believe these are things that we should, in as much as we are talking about winning souls, we should also think along these lines. Can you identify some friends that you can discuss these things with? Like, okay, start praying together, start discussing what can we do as we are led by the Spirit of God. Also start something, you know, so we should approach it from that angle. And the same Spirit of God that helped others to nurture others and grow, let them grow and help them to grow in the faith, and now some are matured Christians, that same Spirit that we also have available to us and at our disposal as well. So when you hear these encouragement messages from others who have done it and are still doing it, then it gives you the hope and the inspiration that yes, it's also possible for us to also do these things. And I trust that this message would help you to understand some of these things better, and God will give you the interest will start building up. It starts by prayer. So I believe we should start praying on our own, start praying for the burden for souls, for the desire, the passion, because the truth is a lot of believers, the passion is not there, it's dead. It used to be there, but now nothing, no desire, we don't care. But it's time we start caring, and you have to spark ourselves into prayer. As we pray, we start building ourselves up, the desire and the passion, then that burden begins to build in us. It is that burden that will be able to move us to think about what to do and how to do, the Holy Spirit guiding and helping, bringing the right people along your way to, you know, team up with you. You have the same vision and all that. That's how we should see these things. But prayer cannot be left out of the equation when it comes to going out to win souls. Prayer cannot be left out. So we should start with it and the rest will fall in line. And I believe this evening, if there's nothing at all that you've learned, this message should ring in your ears. Think about it, reflect, and you know, let me just read that verse again. I think that is Isaiah 60 verse 22. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time. So if we are to see ourselves as little ones, a little one shall become a thousand. That means there's a lot of room in us to expand, to grow in the kingdom, to grow a thousand in the kingdom. A little one, Isaiah 60, 22. And I believe as we have that desire to grow in the Lord and let others also become branches from us, as we also let others grow from us in terms of the expansion, help others to grow as well, and we nurture others in the faith, help others to grow. These are the things which ultimately would help us to achieve the souls that we desire to bring into the kingdom. And you know, it's so important that we've neglected this very, very important thing. But at the end of the day, when all is said and done, these are the things that will count. These are the things that would be a reference point to us that you did this on earth. Whilst you're on earth, you helped to bring this number of people into the kingdom of God. You know, at the end of the day, it's not about our achievements on earth. I mean, material gain, our car, our buildings, our professions. Those things, I mean, it ends right at the emergency ward, confinati. I mean, when people are going and they are at the point of death, their academic certificates are of no use. Their achievements, their accolades, the things they own, do not, the cars they own, do not follow them into the hospital. I mean, everything ends. See, so the things that would value, will be valuable in our spiritual lives when we leave this earth. That's why Jesus said we should store up treasure in heaven. And these are some of the treasures that we can be storing up, helping bringing souls into the kingdom, depopulating the kingdom of Satan, and then populating the kingdom of God. And I believe, as we have this desire this year, we should be thinking this should be something that should be our interest this year. Over the years, we may not have bothered about these things, but this year, the year is still early. Let's be more interested in these deep spiritual things, and I believe God Himself would guide us and help us. I'm Eben. The program is Issues of Life, and I believe you've been blessed this evening. Thank you for listening. Good night, and God bless you.
Oh Lord, you are the Lord. Let us feel your heart tonight, Lord. Speak your heart to us, Lord.
Therefore, and teach all nations.